Would you all bow with me, please? Father, we need your help this morning. As we open up your word, we know that apart from you, we could not understand these things. We would not understand these things rightly, and we definitely would not have these truths applied to our hearts in such a way that we could walk in them and please you through a life that mirrors Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, please move in us. Cause us to walk in your ways. Cause us to love you more. Cause us to see through distractions and see through darkness and see light, as we sang about. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning, and let me welcome you again to worship at Christ Fellowship. Very glad that you're here. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn, as you saw, to Proverbs chapter 2. And we are in a series in Proverbs that we're calling Living Well in God's Word. That's what it's titled, Living Well in God's Word. And you might remember from the slide that we had last time that showed that word in Hebrew. It was like a Hebrew word, chokmah. And we'll have that up in just a moment. But that's the Hebrew word for wisdom. And that Hebrew word, chokmah, means more than just mental knowledge, as we talked about. But living well in God's word, that's our goal in going through Proverbs, to get this chokmah, this wisdom, that will help us do that. Now let's look at the entire outline of Proverbs again up on the screen. And you might recall it was broken up into kind of four main parts. But chapters 1 through 9 is where we're going to be landing this Sunday and next Sunday. Talking about, first of all, focusing today on one of those 10 speeches that the Father is telling to the Son. I don't mean Father God to Son Jesus Christ. I mean, there's actually a Father writing these things to his Son, saying, learn this wisdom. Among, interspersed through those speeches is also four poems by this personified wisdom, which is personified as a woman that we just call Lady Wisdom. And we're going to be looking at one of her speeches also in the future. But we find one of each of these happening in chapter 1, a parental appeal, as some people call it, and Lady Wisdom. They both have a speech that they give in chapter 1. But in chapter 2 today, we're going to be focusing on just one of the speeches that the Father gives to the Son, one appeal that the Father gives to the Son, because it's sort of a good representation of all of them. Now, when you get wisdom, I want to talk about this because this is sort of the hook here. It's what I want to hook you to listen real good with. When you get wisdom, there's so much more in it than just wisdom itself. It's not just a thing all by itself. It's not just knowledge. It's what makes you be able to live rightly in God's world that He's made. When you get this wisdom, you're made able to live rightly in God's world. And so it comes with so much more. There's a lot built into it. I want you to think about, for example, think about getting wisdom like getting a car. When you get a car, you don't just get a motor and four wheels and a few chairs. That's not all you get when you get a car, right? There's more to a car than just that. Think about it. When you get a car, it's pretty amazing. Not only are you in this vehicle that can move you down the road at many, many miles an hour, within the legal speed limit, it also moves you down the road while protecting you from the elements, right? And I'm not sponsored by Honda. That's just a cool picture, I thought. It keeps you protected from the outside elements. While it's moving you down the road, protecting you from those outside elements, if those elements are too hot or too cold outside, guess what? You also get the ability, if these features work in your car, air conditioning, it cools you down, it or heat you up if it's cold outside, right? You get that too, along with the car. What else do you get? You're protected also by seat belts in case there's a crash. You're made comfortable too by the seats. Not only are the seats, they're not just benches of wood. They're cushy. You can sit in them for hours. And guess what? They even adjust. Are your legs long? No problem. Scoot the chair back. Are you really tall? No problem. Lean it back a little bit. It does more. It's more than just the car. What else? You're protected from the outside, so it's quiet in there. It also plays music. So if you're feeling happy or sad or whatever, you can play that music. It's an enjoyable experience in this car. And the car has mirrors, not to mention storage space in the trunk and all that. It's created for way more than just moving your body, isn't it? You get so much more than just a piece of metal with wheels. You get this machine designed with so many features that it can move you efficiently, it can move you safely, it can move you comfortably and optimally while you're in it. You can be a really great driver with a really great experience. Well, wisdom is like that too. When you get it, you get stuff along with it. When you get wisdom, you also get noble character. That's built into it. When you get wisdom, you get integrity. It's built in. Honesty, humility, those things are built into wisdom. Patience, trust in God, obedience, which make you live efficiently and make you live safely and comfortably and make you live optimally in God's world. So when you get wisdom, it's a package deal. And all these things are being built into you as you get wisdom. They're being built into you little by little. Well, I know when you buy the car, you just get all that stuff. Wisdom is a little different. As you walk in it, you grow in all those things little by little. So that's the hook. I hope I've hooked you, because as we walk through this, I want you to say, oh yeah, I do want more wisdom because I do want more integrity. I do want more honesty. I do need more character. I do need more humility, patience, all those things, because it's built in. You'll get it. So let's look at the text. We're going to walk through the chapter together. We're going to have to walk through it kind of quickly, but the chapter flows really smoothly because look at this outline here. The outline is set up for chapter 2 like this. Verses 1 through 5 are this appeal to get wisdom. The father is saying to the son, hey, get this wisdom. And then verses 6 and 7 tell us, this is how you're going to get it. The Lord gives it. It's from the Lord. And then verses 8 through 19 tell us all the great things that wisdom will do for us. Namely, it'll guard our paths, but it tells about so much more about how it guards our paths. And then lastly, the chapter closes out with these three verses. Verses 20 and 21 talk about how the Lord blesses those with wisdom. And then verse 22, we're going to see how those who don't have it are cursed. Now, those verses don't use those exact words of blessing and cursing, but it's more like these good things and then these bad things you'll see. But so that's where we're going. So look at verse 1. This father says to his son, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you. So we have an if here. If you've got your Bible open, look at verse 5. You should see verse 5 starts with the word what? Then. So we have if, then clauses happening in this chapter. You'll also see at the beginning of verse 9, the other then. Then this will happen. If you do this, then you'll get this. So what does this mean? It means it's conditional. There are conditions to getting the wisdom. You don't just get it. If you do this, then you'll get this. So if I do what? How do I get it? How do we get this wisdom? Where is it found? Tell me how to get it. Okay. Verses 2 through 4. Look at this. So if you receive my words and treasure up my commands within you, Number two, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. There's more. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, there's more. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand, it says. So I want to look at these action phrases here because we've got a handful of them here, don't we? Look at these action phrases that we see in verses 2 through 4. There's a lot of things that he's telling you to do. Look at the first one in verse 2. Make your ear attentive. Incline your heart. So you're listening for it. Not only are you listening for it, you're wanting to hear it. You're inclining your heart towards it. To incline your heart towards something means you're moving. You're moving your heart to line up with it. So I'm listening out for it. Once I hear it, I want to get it. What else? Calling out for insight, raising your voice for understanding. Any of you who have children, if you're looking for your children, where are they? And then you call out for them, hey, child, whatever the child's name is, that's how you get the child to come to you, right? You're calling out for it. Hey, I'm looking for you. I'm raising my voice. I'm actively pursuing you, child. Where are you? What's next? If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. I don't know if you've ever actually searched for something knowing that there might be something within this pile that I really want. You've done this. There's the $5 pile of DVDs at Walmart, and you're like, just maybe, that one is in there. There it is. You know, Back to the Future Part 1, or whatever it was you're looking for. Sometimes you search and you dig, and you find that one, that thing that you really wanted, whatever it was. But this is way bigger than a DVD. Look at this. Silver and treasure. If I said to each one of you right now, church, taped under one of your chairs before the service started, I taped a blank check with the amount of $5 million to it. Whoever finds it first gets it. Now, we'd act a little bit differently in here because we're in the church building, so I won't be so aggressive as I might be otherwise. But let's just pretend, okay, we're outside and I said, under one of these rocks, right? I'm telling you, you would be like a madman. $5 million. Look out. These legs haven't ran in a while, but they're about to. Right? You go after it. And so he's saying, go after it like that. Like it's a $5 million check. Like it is treasure. Go after it hard. Determined. Call out for it. Listen for it. Any of you who've hunted and things like that, you are very attentive when you're in those woods. You're looking for what it is, right? That's how he's saying to do it. Here's what's cool. If you do that, then verse 5 happens. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Why will verse 5 happen? Because of verses 6 through 8. Why will I understand it and why will I find it? Well, because of verses, namely 6 and 7. But look at verses 6 and 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. So why will you find it when you act like that? Because at that point, the Lord will say, here you go. Just waiting for you to look hard enough for it. Look at verse 7. I've been storing it up for you. It's like the Lord has this wonderful wisdom that you need to live well in His world, that you need to be like Jesus Christ, His Son, who personified wisdom. He's got this treasure chest, and He's seeing you looking, and He's seeing you looking, and you're getting closer, and He says, you found it. I've been storing it up for you. Reach in and get as much as you want. Remember when your grandparents used to let you get as much candy as you wanted out of the bowl? Your parents never let you. And then you go over to your grandfather, he'd say, get as much as you want. And you were like, yes! Right? It's like that with wisdom. The Lord says, I've been storing it up for you. This is your wisdom. I give it out. That's cool. Because I want to be wise. And I want these things. And this father who's writing here, he's a good father. You know why? Because he wants this for his son. And you parents out there, or you soon to be parents, some of you, when you're wise and when you walk in wisdom, you will also encourage your children to want it and to find it. But you teach just as much with your mouth as you do with how you live, don't you? So he stores it up. Now, what does it do? What is this wisdom once we get it? Once I get it, once the Lord has says, I've been storing it up for you, I've been holding it for you, here you go, you found it, you've got it, you're walking in it now. What all does it do for me? It's like I've got the car, I'm interested in this car. Now I need the salesman to kind of tell me all the features. What are all the features of this wisdom? What's it going to do? Okay. Look at verses 8 through 19. It's going to guard the paths of justice and watch over the way of his saints. So the Lord in wisdom, using wisdom, blessing you with it, guards the paths of justice, washes over the way of his saints, basically protects you in the way, protects your path. But here's another then statement thrown in the middle. The outline that I did was a large general outline. Of course, with anything, you could sub-outline and get real detailed. So we have another then statement thrown right in the middle of here, all that wisdom does for us. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path, which we need. If you've been ever given advice from people, you know that some advice is good and some advice is bad. You've taken some advice from people and walked in it, and then you've later on said, I wish I would not have done that. Understanding righteousness, understanding justice, understanding every good path. Don't you want that? Don't you want, when you come to those forks in the road in life, don't you want to be able to see the fork and say, we're supposed to go right? You'll understand those paths better. You'll see them so much more clearly. It'll be like in those cartoons. The one way he's got like skulls and death and it's black and there's a cliff, and then the other way is all bright and pretty. You know, they really exaggerate. It'll be like that. You'll understand the good path when you're walking in this chokmah, this wisdom of the Lord that he gives. Why? For verse 10, wisdom will come into your heart. Knowledge will be pleasing to your soul. Remember my last sermon, not last week, but the one before that, I mentioned when I was walking my sins, I didn't care about the Lord's truth. I didn't care. It was dull. It was boring. But when I came to know the Lord, the second part of verse 10 happened, knowledge will be pleasing to your soul. There was a time when after I got saved, I could hardly put this book down. I was like, gosh, this book that I used to think was so boring and dull and lame is awesome. Wow. Like, I never knew David cut off Goliath's head after he hit him with a rock. That was just one cool thing I thought. I would read more and I'd be like, I never knew this either. I never knew this either. Oh, that's why I'm feeling this, because it says right here I'm supposed to be doing that. And it was pleasing to my soul because God was pouring truth into me and wisdom into me, as He keeps doing, thank the Lord. Discretion will watch over you, verse 11. Understanding will guard you. You want to be guarded? I do. God's wisdom will guard you from wrong things. What will it deliver you from? Usually, if you need to be delivered from something, you are trapped in it, but not always. Sometimes you can just be among something that's dangerous and then be delivered out of it. Well, that's what's happening right here. Delivered from the way of evil. And then verses 12, halfway through verse 12, the second half of verse 12, all the way through verse 15, tells about the fact that wisdom will deliver me from evil men. Which is interesting, because then verses 16 through 19 to tell me that it will deliver me from the evil woman. So here is wisdom protecting me, showing me right paths, helping me discern right ways, but it also delivers me from evil men and an evil woman. Let's look at these evil men and see what they're like. Why do I need to be delivered from them? What's so bad about them? What makes them evil? Verse 12. From men, halfway through verse 12, from men of perverted speech. The Lord, when He grips your heart, He will also grip your tongue. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who forsake the paths of uprightness, they see a path of goodness and they say, eh, they forsake it. They're like, whatever. Don't want that path. What do they want to do? They want to walk in the ways of darkness. Here's the upright path. Don't want that. It's too bright over there. They want to walk in ways of darkness. Why? The book of John tells us in the darkness, their sin is concealed. It's kept secret. If they go into the light, oh, their sins are exposed. We don't like that when we're in our sin. What else is true about them in verse 14, these evil men that I need to be delivered from, that wisdom will deliver me from? What else is true about them? They rejoice in doing evil. They brag about it. They like it. They delight in the perverseness of evil. I remember when we were in our sinfulness as teenagers, boasting in the bad things that we did. We didn't care. We thought it was funny. Evil is not anything to be rejoiced in. It's damning to your soul, and it brings you to the pit. Men whose paths are crooked. You'll see this a lot in the poetry of the Hebrews. Crooked paths and straight paths. Those are contrary to each other. The straight path, of course, is the Lord's way, and the crooked path is the bad way, the way of evil. And so these men walk in crooked paths, who are devious in their ways. To deviate from something, as you know, means to go off the right way. If you're deviating from the right way, well, that's what these men are like. So their speech is bad. Their paths are going into darkness. They rejoice in evil. And they go down a crooked, devious path. They're going off the right way. So that's what these evil men are like. And if you have chokmah, the wisdom of God, guess what? You don't have to worry about going with them. You'll see them for what they are, and they won't tempt you. You won't think, as I used to, about men like this when I was a teenager, oh, those guys are cool. Those are the fun guys. I want to be like them. And then when the Lord opens your eyes, you say, ooh, they're bad, and their end will be ruin. And God helps you see that. Now, who else will wisdom help you be delivered from? Well, here she is. She's spoken about a lot in Proverbs. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. You have to watch out for smooth words when it comes to the issue of lust. I did a whole sermon on that, remember, a few months back, and that's still on the website when we talked about that. But just getting into a little bit here again, it's tricky. This woman, she's smooth with her talk. She has a silver tongue, as they say. She will lure you in, trick you, catch you. Now look what her character is like. Verse 17, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. It's talking about her husband. She forsakes the companion of her youth. She forsakes her husband. Now look at this next part though, because this is a big deal. And forgets the covenant of her God. This is just one of the scripture, one of the texts in scripture that talk about the marriage covenant. I mean, the marriage vows being equated with a covenant of God. Now, just a few months ago, Braden and Holly stood before a man. That man was Derek Thomas, just a man. And they said vows. But what they were doing also, spiritually, in a spiritual realm, before God, deity, was they were making a covenant with God. A covenant uniting them together spiritually. That's why the Lord takes marriage so seriously. Yes, we're just speaking vows before men when we get married. But we're not just doing that, are we? The Lord calls it a covenant. And this woman, if she's willing to say, to this man that she made vows to, what do you think she's going to do to you when she's done? You really think this woman cares about you? This adulterous woman? No, she will turn around and devour you. She cares nothing about you. You just exist for her pleasure. You're just a little eye candy for her, and she's done with you. Don't be lured in by her. For her house, where does it go? Sinks down to death. Her paths to the departed, people that have passed on. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. It's a pretty strong warning. It's saying, guess what? You go down her path, you're not coming back. Now again, this is teaching a principle. Thank the Lord. There can be forgiveness and there can be reconciliation and marriages can be healed when things like this happen. Thank the Lord for that. That's hard and it takes a long time. But generally, they're saying here, remember we talked about these, talk about general principles. Most of the time, kind of talk. Most of the time, people that do these things, they don't come back from that. Stay away from those things, guys. One thing that encouraged me about the Proverbs, though, because if you're a human being here, if you have a pulse at all, you know that lust and these things, they can be issues. And you think, gosh, why do I struggle with this? Why do I struggle with this? I'm so evil. I'm so dirty. Why do I just struggle with these thoughts? And you know what encouraged me? How much Proverbs talks about it. You know why the Lord includes it so much in Proverbs? Because we need it so much. That encouraged me so much one day. I remember where I was even. I was standing in front of a bathroom sink when that hit me. Wow. The Lord, He cares about me in putting so many warnings in Scripture because He knows we need so many warnings because He understands we're going to struggle with this a lot. So I felt really encouraged by the Lord, and you should too. That He's saying it to you a lot because He knows you need to hear it a lot. And it also means He wants you to turn from it a lot. Okay? Don't just fight it once and think it's dead. You're going to have to keep killing it. Now, because you have found wisdom, because you found wisdom, and it's protecting you, it's doing all this good stuff for you. Look at verse 21 and 22. Because you have found wisdom, that's why it starts with the word so in verse 20. So, because you have found wisdom, the Lord blesses you in these ways. So you will walk in the way of the good. What else? And keep to the paths of the righteous. That's, praise God. Praise God. You're going to get to the end. You're going to make it. With God's help, with God's wisdom, you'll keep on this path. Why? Because God will keep you on the path. Don't you dare think for one moment that you have the strength to keep yourself on the path. That's when you're going to fall. Because pride comes before a fall. For the upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. These are the blessings the Lord gives to those who have it. He blesses them. I want you to think about your children for a second. If you have children, if you don't yet, Lord willing, you'll have them one day. If not, you know some children. And this is how you probably act towards them. But think about your own children. Think about getting a blessing from God. Think about your own children. When are you most motivated to bless them? When are you most feeling like, gosh, I just want to bless these children of mine? Is it when they're disobeying you? No, it's not. Is it when they're just kind of mediocre, doing enough to get by? No. You're most motivated to bless those children when you see them living according to your will and your desires and what you've taught them is good and right and true. When you see them doing that, even without your prompting, because it doesn't count when you say you're sorry, I'm sorry, give her a hug. Okay. It sort of counts, but you're not like, good job, let's go, we'll reward you. No, you did it because I told you to. You're most motivated when you're watching them and you see them do something and you're like, oh, praise God. He got it. Or she got it. Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord, because I didn't do that. I mean, I've been teaching them, but you did it. I wasn't even over there. That's when you're most motivated to say, let's go to your favorite restaurant. Or let's go get that toy you've been wanting for so long. That's when you want to bless them. When you see them living according to your will, your desire, what you've taught them to be right and true and good. And guess what? That's when God's blessings will also come on you. When you walk in this chokmah, when you walk in this wisdom that he's trying to give you, that he says, search for it, find it, and I'll give it to you. And then you get it and you walk in it. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. I don't mean necessarily with your favorite restaurant or toys. You might not get those. But you will get the blessing of being made more like Jesus. And that's better than anything. Because last I checked, Jesus is better than toys and food. Last I checked. So, conclusion, this is what will happen in verse 22 who don't have it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. He concludes with a warning. You'll be cut off without it. You'll be ripped out of the land with out it. It's just a very quick warning, but it's the very end. He wants it to stick with us. Get it. It'll give you all these good things. He'll bless you. But know this. This is also true. He ends with that warning. So, all of this together. This is why the father of chapter 2 here, who is wise, implores his son to be wise and to do all these actions, because he knows in getting all these things and getting the wisdom that his son is going to be protected and blessed. And he wants that for him. And so how do you, because we really haven't talked about this yet. I've told you to search for it. I've told you to go after it. I've told you to seek for it. But I haven't really told you yet, have I, how to get it? Well, how do I get it? How do I get this wisdom? How do I get the Chokmah, Cohen? Tell me. I'm convinced I need it. How do I get it? Well, you know that. It's through this, through the word of the Lord. I've told you before, prayer is how we speak to God, and the Bible is how He speaks to us. Reading His word, trusting His word, obeying His word. That's when the blessing comes in. Believing that God is who He says He is, believing that He's like what He says He's like, and not trying to invent a God to suit your own desires. So walking in these ways, guys, walking in wisdom is when we walk like Jesus Christ and receive the greatest blessing from the Father. Because guess what the Father said about Jesus? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So if wisdom makes you more like Jesus, guess what? You can expect to hear those words about you one day too. Let's pray. Father, we thank You very much for these words of truth and these words of wisdom. Help us to walk in them. Give us grace to do it. We know that we cannot do it on our own. Help us to see Jesus walking through these pages as well, because He's there, since He is the perfect example of all of this lived out. Give us grace, Lord, to seek after these things as if they were treasure. Please give us grace to seek after these things as if they were treasure, because they are. Show me, show Your church, just how valuable Your truth is. In Christ's name, amen.